Hi, this is Dave, and it's been 3 years since we launched Galactic Netcasts. And over that time, some shows have come and gone, but the one thing that stayed the same is our commitment to you, the best listeners on the internet. And that's why we're asking for your help. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us build the best sci-fi, science, and geek culture-based podcast network in the galaxy. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Thank you for your support, and on with the show!
By your command.
A great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, hear ye. I'm Dave Nelson, and on the 7th day of August, the year of our Star-Lord 2014, I call to order this, the 19th meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Let's commence with the roll call. We always start with Mr. Matt Stein, are you here?
Yes, Dad.
If you and your wife were to role play something in bed, what sci-fi characters would you choose and why?
She would be the three-breasted Martian from Total Recall, and I would be Arnold Schwarzenegger because Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now do Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice.
Get down!
It's one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. All right. Brad Ludwig, are you here?
Yes, I am. President accounted for.
All right. Your question is, Team Kree or Team Skrull and why?
That's a very complicated situation.
Oh, come on.
Why don't you make it uncomplicated and explain it to us?
All right. Briefly, the Kree were a bunch of spacefaring people. The Skrulls were not tech-savvy at all. The Kree show up. They mess with the Skrull. Think of it like the white man coming to North America and pushing the Native Americans, the Native tribes here, off of their land. It was kind of like that. And they pushed them around. The difference here is the Skrull grabbed their technology and rapidly became a technology-based race, and then they started to beat the Kree. And then the Kree cried foul and boo-hoo, the Forest Skrull are beating us. So they kind of got a taste of their own medicine there. They were getting their butts handed to them. So I don't have compassion for either, but I guess if I had to pick a race, I would pick the Kree.
Okay, all right. That is correct. Good job.
No, it's the lesser of – it's not necessarily the lesser of two evils. It's just they're now the underdog, and the Skrull really learned their lessons well from the Kree, unfortunately, and the Kree have repented. So.
And for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, this is all from the Marvel Universe. And I believe – were they both represented in Guardians of the Galaxy or just one of them?
Only the Kree, the Skrull, I think, are technically a part of – they're more seen in the Fantastic Four, which means Fox probably has the rights for them, which is why we probably won't see the Skrull in Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff.
Okay. All right. And finally, roll call, Anessa Moines, are you here?
Yes.
Okay. If you could go to an alternate Earth, what subtle differences would you want to see in this parallel but different universe? Of Earth.
Myself owning a wrestling-themed restaurant.
Where you would serve what? What would you serve in that restaurant?
Macho Man Randy sandwiches. The Hulk hoagies. And what was the... what was the other one?
The Iron Shake.
There was Iron Shake, and then, oh yeah, Jake the Shake Roberts.
See, the Iron Shake could be something like an energy shake, you know? Iron, it's, energy.
You could have like Degeneration Tex-Mex or something.
Oh, we are onto something. We need to do this now.
We can make this happen.
Yes.
We could have the ultimate waffles.
Oh.
It would be awesome.
Or you could call it the ultimate waffler.
So anybody that's listening or watching this and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to steal these ideas. No, we said them. We own the rights.
I will find you and I will end you.
Find you.
Although, and then I will eat your sandwiches.
If you want to sponsor and help this idea grow, feel free.
GalacticNetcast@gmail.com. All right, welcome to the show where we discuss the week's science fiction news. And normally we would have a celebrity guest of some kind, but unfortunately our guest that was scheduled this week, something came up, they couldn't make it. And we're gonna try to reschedule them. But in the meantime, let's pretend that we have a guest, my friends. Let's come up with a guest that we'd want to have on the show, okay? So someone throw out a famous science fiction character.
I'm still stuck on the wrestler thing. I was thinking Hacksaw Dim Sum. Sorry.
I really hope one of you guys is writing these ideas down, because this is winning stuff.
Thankfully, this is being recorded. So
it's being recorded, so we're good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, focus,
so,
people.
Famous sci-fi.
Yes.
Back to the topic.
Famous science fiction character.
Douglas Quaid.
Or.
Nobody.
Yeah, no.
Everybody's like, or.
No, it's your fascination with everything Arnold Schwarzenegger. We get it.
Aww.
We could totally do that, though. I mean, that would work out perfectly, because we could have someone do the voice, and that person could be Matt.
Okay, yeah, let's do that then. That's going to be our fictitious fake guest for this week, Douglas Quaid, and he's going to be
he's going to be
voiced by Matt Stein. So, welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Douglas Quaid. How you doing?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Dave. So great to be here with you and the rest of the sci-fi geeks. You know, one time I was on Mars, and I my head went outside, and it was so...
You're really good at
you
that.
You brought this upon yourself.
You're really good at that certain thing, Matt. That's great. All right. Thank you for joining us all the way from Mars. Now, Brad, let's read the minutes from last week. What did we talk about on the last meeting of, or during the last meeting of the Sci-Fi Geek Club?
I'm broken. I have no idea what happened the last. Okay. Our guest geek was Ali Spagnola of the Power Hour. Very, very interesting individual. The stories that we had. So we'll start with Matt. And Matt shared with us the Deadpool test footage that was leaked. It was voiced by Ryan Reynolds, but the footage that was, it was done all CG. I mean, obviously they didn't have the budget and they were just kind of doing some preliminary stuff, so they did it all in 3D. And what they leaked was amazing. It needs to be made as a film, and hopefully with the amount of traction that got on Facebook and social media, somebody over at Fox is it Fox? Yeah, Fox is going to probably jump on that.
So since last week's episode, I went back and watched a little bit of X-Men Origins Wolverine, and Ryan Reynolds didn't play Deadpool. He played the human that is Deadpool, right? He just played the guy that would become Deadpool.
Did you watch it all the way through?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it all the way through.
And that's a fair question.
Yeah.
No, and it's not because I didn't like it, because this is really insidey stuff, because we were talking on Facebook today about how I didn't like Thor the Dark World because I only watched a little bit of it. I have since recanted that and said I love the movie, and one could think that this is the same situation, but I just haven't gotten around to watching the rest of it. So explain more, Brad, please.
Okay, in the comics, he is another part of the Weapon X project, which is the same project that developed Wolverine or gave him his adamantium skeleton. Wade is that's his regular name, not Deadpool. But Wade had terminal cancer. He was going to die. And so with nothing to lose, he signed up for the Weapon X project, and his body was horribly scarred from all the treatments that he got. He kind of got a good news, bad news thing. The good news is he now has regenerative properties. The bad news is his body will never – his regenerative sort of template starts at the point where he's horribly scarred. So he will never – look right. His face is horribly scarred and disfigured, which is why he has a full face mask. But he is a master assassin, high level of agility, skilled marksman, excellent with the sword. In Wolverine Origins, they totally botched him horribly and did something to him that doesn't exist in the comics, which isn't always a bad thing, but what they did was just totally screwed up his character and destroyed him. So this would be, hopefully, with this footage, they would completely reset that and make him right. And that's what this footage really showed.
And Fox has a history with this latest X-Men movie of kind of bringing it back around again and fixing things. So maybe they would do that with this as well.
Yeah, they totally have the opportunity now with the blank slate that this X-Men film has created to fix that. So now would be the time.
All right.
Next story is the story I brought to the table, which is NASA's new spacecraft will have a Star Trek-like cockpit. The Orion spacecraft, instead of having a lot of gauges and everything that you saw in like the missions that were done to the moon, and even the controls that were in the space shuttle. Space shuttle was, they started that project after the moon landings. So there were thousands of switches, literally thousands of switches. This would be more streamlined. It would be more ergonomic, and it would have a console that would be kind of like a glorified smartphone, so the appropriate things that you needed to be aware of would pop up on the screen, and as you dealt with them, they would go away. Very, very interesting space age approach.
I have a question. I have a question for Douglas Quaid, our guest. Doug, is this how you got your ass to Mars on the Orion spacecraft?
I went to a call, and I woke up, and I wasn't entirely sure of what was happening. I don't know how I got to Mars, right? I think we can assume that my Schwarzenegger impression does not go much beyond.
I don't know. Impression? What are you talking about? Douglas Quaid's really here. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Wow. This is how the rest of this show is going to go, isn't it?
Okay, Brad.
Well, absolutely painful.
Next story.
I love you like a brother, but damn. The story that Dave brought to the table was Christopher Nolan shows off footage of Interstellar's mind-warping alien planet at San Diego Comic-Con. Boy, if you weren't psyched for Interstellar before that footage came out, your mind is probably blown, and we know for sure that Anne Hathaway is in the film, and it's the two of them in the spacecraft who are launched through the wormhole to try to find a new, basically a new planet for mankind to inhabit, because Earth is broken, irrevocably broken, and there's no hope for it. So mankind needs to leave the planet or die.
Another space movie, too. I mean, yep. Guardians of the Galaxy was in space. This one's in space. I think we're on a roll.
We are. And last but certainly not least is Inessa. And the story that she brought to the table was some sci-fi writers want fewer killer robots and more vision of the future. Basically, this story was talking about how everybody's pointing the fingers at each other. Science is pointing their fingers at the writers for saying, you know what, you need to write a brighter future instead of this dystopian crap. And writers are pointing their fingers at scientists going, but you keep making stuff that's totally horrible and can go horribly wrong, like sentient robots and stuff. So basically it's a stalemate, and we'll see who can make what happen here to kind of brighten up our sci-fi fare that we've been getting.
I don't think it was so much like pointing the finger at science going, you're making things that could kill us. I think they were just saying, you're not really making anything different. And I think that was the main point, was you're not really making anything different, and we need something new where we can kind of build off of that and go a different direction. And science is going, yeah, well, you're not really inspiring us with your writing. So, but I do agree that, yeah, there's a lot of dystopian stuff out there. And if people end up wanting to try something different and kind of get creative with things, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, and it would give people more things to read.
All trends must end, or not end, but...
It'll come back around again.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cyclical.
All right, let's move on to new business, and as always... Matt starts us off. By the way, before we get into the stories, we got something special and new coming up at the end of the show. I'm just going to tease it. I'm not going to say what it is.
What?
You'll have to keep listening to find out what exactly I'm talking about. But in the meantime, let's get
on
with
it. Keep listening?
Yes.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
All right, Douglas. Doug, settle down.
All right.
Now, I want to talk to Matt now. Matt, what do you got for us as far as stories go?
Well, if you don't like going outside and you prefer to play video games, good news, League of Legends is now a college sport. I saw this, I crapped a little, and then I was like, Dave, you gotta let me talk about this. I'm assuming you're not familiar with League of Legends.
Yeah, can you explain the game, please?
Yeah,
I'm bad at it, so I don't like it. I don't even know how to describe it. There's four people on each team. And each person plays like a champion type character, so you have special powers and stuff. And each team spawns these little guys, and it basically the point is to destroy the other team's base. But you have to go through like these towers that shoot stuff at you along the way. So it's kind, it's very, very much fantasy, a lot of magic. It's kind of action, kind of RPG, kind of real time strategy. People like love this thing. Like Dota 2 is very, very similar to League of Legends. And Dota 2 has, I think they just did it, I can't remember what it's called, but there's like a worldwide tournament. And people win, I want to say like the amount you can win is somewhere close to $100,000, maybe $250,000, something like
what?
That. You can stream the whole thing online too. I'm going to just Google
it's
it real
crazy.
Quick. But so going back to the story a little bit. The Robert Morris University in Illinois has added a League of Legends team to their sports program for the school. So if you agree to go to Robert Morris under a League of Legends scholarship, they will cover 50% of your tuition and 50% of room and board, which the yearly cost at Robert Morris is $31,600 for tuition and $14,400 for room and board. And that's just this year.
Holy
so
crap.
You figure $47,000 close to.
Yeah.
$46,000 on the nuts. So 50% off of that is, you know, a $23,000 scholarship per year just to play a video game.
Jesus.
As I read further into it, I got a little more interested to find out that there's currently 750 schools in U.S. and Canada that already have a video game league called the High School Star League. And there's, I mean, this is apparently a big deal, which is surprising to me. But I believe the Collegiate Star League is still kind of young. So Robert Morris is starting their varsity sports team that will take place in the Collegiate Star League. And if you apply to go to Robert Morris with hopes of joining their League of Legends team, they'll waive the application fee, which is kind of a big deal because, college, it's like $50-$100. So those add up pretty quick. So for them to waive it is kind of a cool thing. But,
holy crap, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was – It currently, they're just doing League of Legends, but like the high school Star League does Dota and League of Legends and StarCraft 2, which are kind of the big three multiplayer.
Well, isn't StarCraft huge in Korea, like in South Korea, where they like these kids will like
to the point where they just keep playing and don't eat and starve to death and die.
Yeah, it's crazy.
that was World of Warcraft. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think they did it with StarCraft.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, StarCraft is huge in Korea, and that's they have StarCraft tournaments.
I think there are some extreme cases. They just get really obsessive with certain video games.
Yeah,
which doesn't really surprise me. But I finally found the prize money, and I was way off. First place for the Dota 2 International Tournament this year was $5,026,778.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so there's money to be made in playing video games, but much like any sport, you have to be so ridiculously good and invest all of your time that it's not easy just to play video games.
There's a lower barrier to entry, though. I mean, you don't have to you don't begin with physical ability, right? I mean, because most of these athletes that are successful at athletics, whatever endeavors they're into, is they're actually endowed with physical strength or agility or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like to be an athlete, you have to have a natural gift. You know, your DNA will say, like, yeah, your body is allowed to become this big. Yeah, or your body is unable to hit these top speeds. And
you've got reflexes. You've got the ability to keep track of multiple things at the same time with your brains.
Yeah, there's other abilities.
Yeah,
kind of a deal.
I'm not saying that there isn't abilities that are put to use. I just think it's, like Dave said, there's a much more level playing field for video games at a younger age. I mean, your limit is, are you able to get your hands on a computer that can play the game?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Yeah, because there's no real physical... There's not as many physical restrictions with video games as there are with other sports. So you don't have to be an awesome runner. You don't have to be, like, an awesome pitcher for a baseball team or something. And so if you get injured, as long as your hands are okay and you don't develop carpal tunnel, then you're pretty much good to go.
And growing up doing this, you don't have to join a team. Your parents don't have to put up all this money for equipment and training.
Their computer.
Yeah,
the computer.
A computer that can run the software and the software itself and the subscription. But compared to actual, I know League of Legends is free.
It's free. Yeah.
But you still gotta buy the software, and if the kid has like their preferred mouse and whatnot, but. Yeah, aside from the initial startup costs, you don't have the same costs that you would have to get each year with equipment, replacing pads, replacing shoes, and all that good stuff. So the cost is significantly less than playing actual sports.
I'm not good enough at video games to be like a professional athlete. I'm fine with that. But I think it's cool that it's now being recognized as something that does require skill to be good at.
Yeah.
Playing video games is over the, you know, the course of the last 10 years or whatever has become less of like a faux pas and more, it's kind of like a hipster thing. Like, oh, you play video games. And, you know, gamer girls and all stuff like that.
Well, the other thing too is I actually found that playing video games, especially people that are going into the medical field or that are in the medical field, doctors and whatnot, they find that playing video games actually helps them manage the finer details with finer movements and whatnot in surgery. And so they're starting to actually see benefits from playing video games, and it's not just a waste of time sitting in front of the TV or in front of the computer.
Well,
so
a lot of
you're actually getting a lot of, like, I guess, hand-eye coordination, refining your skills, planning your moves. A lot of timing is involved, and so you know you're not going to get to the next mark if you don't hit a certain spot at a certain time. There's a lot more complexity to video games, and people are just now starting to realize that.
If you look at various genres of video games, so you take a real-time strategy like StarCraft or Command & Conquer, you basically are doing project management. You know, you're setting up a base, you're building a team to succeed at a goal. First-person shooters are more, you know, there's team tactics, and you go back to the hand-eye coordination. If you see something, you got to be able to move. You know, your hands have to move, and your eyes, and you got to, you know, and reflexes to do it faster than someone else. If you're into World of Warcraft and you do raids, you have to work in a team to accomplish a goal. So it's kind of a stretch to say that it's like real-life scenarios, and these are things you can really apply at work, but it kind of does. I mean, we're getting to an age where kids sit and text people, and they use improper grammar and improper spelling, but there's still situations in which playing video games, yes, you're not with someone else, but you're still interacting just, you know, through technology instead of face-to-face. So it's kind of the silver lining in a dark time.
Matt, have you thought about trying to play? I know I'm going off. I'm going to go off on a different tangent here. Have you thought about trying to play Marvel Heroes? I hear it's really, really good. I know that you're not into comic books, but I hear that the game's really good.
It's fun.
I did play it. There was a few free-to-play ones that I played. One, you created your own superhero. And I think Marvel Heroes
Champions?
Was
one. There was Champions. There was City of Heroes.
Not City of Heroes. I'll have to look it up on Steam. I think I did play Marvel, though. It was not fun. It was just in a period where I played a lot of free MMOs, which are all the same thing over and over, just with different... They just look different. It's like, run to this area and beat the crap out of six things and then return and collect and then go over here and do this. And I get... Those games get old to me really quick because I have a really short attention span. So
really?
There has to be... Shiny red ball. There has to be like really good story for me to really get into the game.
Brad, did you say that you played that?
I played Champions and Marvel.
Marvel Heroes?
Marvel Heroes, yeah. And I haven't had the time to play it in a while, but when I did play, it was wonderful. I enjoyed it a lot.
That's the other thing. Those MMOs are such a time commitment.
They can be, yeah.
I think I played Neverwinter with some of my old coworkers, which is a Dungeons & Dragons MMO. And just to get my character to the max level, it was like 40 or 50 hours of my time. So I'm starting to get really, really off topic here, but you know, for you to really be effective and get the most out of a game, you're looking at days and days of your life spent doing this. And unfortunately, this company expects me to show up 40 hours a week.
Damn work.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, I think they're here to stay. I think video games and video game competition is here to stay. So bring it on. Mm-hmm. Let's bring on the next story. And Brad has something from back in 1937.
Back in my day. No, I saw this on io9 and it really made me stop and think. Back in 1937, people worried that science fiction was going downhill.
It barely just started in 1937. What were they talking about?
And you're absolutely right. Here are the details. Most of us have been seeing convention panels about the death of science fiction for years now. It's become sort of a jolly cliche. Everybody laments the loss of some earlier, greater age of the genre. But back in 1937, British fans were pretty worried that science fiction was in a permanent decline. Now, the original information that this was pulled from is somebody had posted this on Rob Hansen's Fan Stuff. And it's a fanzine from November 1937, listing a certain Arthur C. Clarke, whom you might recognize, as one of the associate editors, along with some pretty harsh reviews of the then latest issue of Thrilling Wonders stories. There's Clarke's rebuttal to the people that say science is the important part of science fiction, and science fiction stories need no literary merit. But then at the end of this thing, there's a little tidbit. The London science fiction SFA, I'm not sure what the A is.
Association? Academy?
Probably. Branch report. The occasion of the branches, I'm sorry, I need to do this with my pince-nez. The occasion of the branches' second meeting was auspicious by reason of a of speeches, and Mr. Mayer, in addition, gave a – I have no idea who Mr. Mayer is – in addition, gave a comprehensive account of the activities of the SFA, past, present, and future. After the minutes had been read, Mr. Temple reported that the amateur authors' circle and told of the progress that had been made on a story based on the Abominable Snowmen. The activities of the science circle were described by Mr. Williams, who announced a lecture by A.C. Clarke at the next meeting to be held on December 5th. Finally, an informal discussion was held upon proposals in a paper given by Mr. Williams, "Has Science Fiction Declined?" The new premises of this branch were unanimously approved.
You know, it's funny. As you were reading that, I was thinking back to the story that we talked about last week and we reviewed a few minutes ago about the whole dystopian and brighter future science fiction, how we definitely go through trends, and it sounds like they were going through a trend at that time.
Yeah. It's like Vanessa was saying before, everything goes in cycles, you know. Things wax and wane, and you get new blood in, and things get motivated and change. And that's how it is for anything, literature, cinema, science. It just takes a couple of upstarts, some whippersnappers to change things up.
It's so funny to sound like – it's so funny that, you know, that was very, very early on in Arthur C. Clarke's career right there. He was pretty much a young guy at that point.
He was a young man. Let's see. You raise a very good question, sir.
There was a lot
of – the internets might even have some answers for us.
There was a lot of things that he hadn't written yet at that point.
He was born in 1917, so this would have been when he was 20 years old.
Jesus, wow. Young.
So he was probably in college. God, His alma mater was King's College of London, so he was probably attending King's College while this was taking place.
Interesting.
So there you go. One note from Danny at IO9 who had posted this story. You have to love the notion of people earnestly debating in 1937 whether the best days of science fiction were behind it. Bear that in mind the next time you insist that it's all downhill from here. So, and there you go.
And that,
words of wisdom.
And that also, yeah, very good point. And that also feeds into the whole science is not giving us enough fuel to make good science fiction, because there was a lot of fuel that hadn't been made yet for a lot of science fiction that had not been made yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's the eternal argument, something that really won't change. That's just how life is.
All right. Good stuff. I love those kind of stories. So thank you for bringing it to the table this week, Mr.
Absolutely.
Mr. Ludwig. All right. So I'm kind of on this whole sci-fi tear. The last couple of shows have been talking about shows that they are developing, and it came out this week that they are developing another new show that a former guest of ours would be really stoked for. Sci-Fi is developing John Scalzi's Old Man's War book series into a future-set military series, and Brian Brushwood was talking about how he loved that book series when he was on the show.
Yeah, I have The Old Man's War. I bought it a while ago, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Some of my coworkers a few years ago were telling me about it and that I needed to read it. And so that's officially part of my list.
All right. Another even better reason to start reading it is because this show might be coming to a TV near you. The network has put a series adaptation of Scalzi's novel Ghost Brigades, based on the 5-part Old Man's War collection, into active development, which I don't really know what that means, besides the fact that I know that they're writing it right now. So I don't know what else is involved in active development of a series.
I would think that they're actually taking steps to, line up like a cast and maybe figure out what direction they want it to go in versus it's just being it's being talked about, and that's it. So they're actively doing stuff to hopefully make it happen rather than, oh, yeah, we should totally do this show. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, we'll just add it to the list.
No. Good point. Very good point.
So, that's my guess anyway.
No, that's a good estimate. Good guesstimate. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the series will follow, this is the story of the book, 75-year-old John Perry, who enlists in the Colonial Defense Force to help fight a centuries-long war for man's expansion into the cosmos, but Perry's consciousness will be transplanted into a younger body so he can better survive the conditions in space and the rigors of war. The story will follow Perry as he arrives in the Force and finds himself involved with a mysterious woman and deep conspiracy surrounding the elite fighting squad, the Ghost Brigades. Ghost Brigades is the title of the second book, published in 2006, which followed 2005's Old Man's War, which that's where they got the name for the series. The series continued with The Last Colony in 2007, Zoe's Tale in 2008, and The Human Division in 2013. So plenty of source material to choose from for this series. And I'm getting a big-time, like, Battlestar Galactica vibe on this for some weird reason, because it's very militaristic, right? Conspiracies involved, possibly. And also, I'm getting kind of a Ender's Game vibe as well.
Yeah, I kind of got that, too.
Kind of, I guess. I know Old Man's War, like, people don't really start fighting until, like, way in their later years, and they live, I guess, longer lives. And so it would be more of the, I guess it could have kind of the same vibe as Ender's Game. It's just later in life.
Okay, yeah.
So
that makes sense.
And at least that's what I've understood. I could totally be wrong. I own the book. I just haven't read it yet. So
the Ender's Game connection that I got was the whole not actually being there to fight, because in Ender's Game he was never actually, well, spoiler alert, he never actually went to war. He fought it remotely. And this is kind of the same deal. He's getting his consciousness transplanted into the body of somebody that's younger.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it because I've actually read a short story that kind of ties into Ender's Game. Or not Ender's Game, Old Man's War. But I don't remember the transplanting into the body bit. So I'd have to look it up again and reread it. But it's by the same person. It's just another little tidbit off of Old Man's War.
Okay.
So
if this series actually gets on air, if all these series is that Sci-Fi is planning on producing, we're going to have a whole lot of like pure science fiction coming our way very, very soon. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Looking forward to our very bright science fiction future on Sci-Fi.
Woohoo!
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to our next story and our last story, actually. And Anessa, what do you got?
I want to watch The Fugitive. Now, the reason for that is because usually if I see Tommy Lee Jones or see him mentioned, I always think of The Fugitive for some reason. And when he's telling everybody to search every outhouse, doghouse, whatever house.
Anyway. And he says, I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm innocent. I don't care.
I don't care. That's a movie that made me really want to go to Chicago, so go figure. Anyway, Tommy Lee Jones, the reason why I mentioned Tommy Lee Jones, he's going to be joining the cast of a sci-fi thriller called Criminal. Criminal is going to star Kevin Costner and Gary Oldman, and it's a thriller from Millennium Films. Ariel Vroman, who wrote and directed The Iceman, is helming the project, which centers on a dead CIA operative's memories, secrets, and skills that are implanted into a dangerous prison inmate in hopes that he will stop a diabolical plot. And Tommy Lee Jones is going to be playing a neuroscientist who transplants these memories. So, not entirely sure when this movie comes out, honestly. I don't know if they've got a date, but they certainly have the cast lined up.
Yeah, holy crap. Tommy Lee Jones, Kevin Costner, Gary Oldman. Holy crap.
Yeah, no small names there.
No.
No lack of talent, that's for sure. And it'll be interesting to see Tommy Lee Jones playing a scientist. He's always been these characters where he's just very straightforward to the point. Not like simple, but just not a lot of fluff. And I'm kind of wondering if he's going to be playing the neuroscientist in kind of the same manner, or if he's going to try to sound more technical in his jargon.
I can't imagine him doing that at all. You know, I can't.
So I think this is just a really interesting character for him to play compared to other, like, to the point people. Whether it's he plays a lot in officers or agents, I guess, a lot of law type things. And so him being a scientist is totally different. Gary Oldman, he's got a huge range. So, but yeah, Tommy Lee Jones, it'll be interesting to see him doing a character such as this. So I'm kind of excited about it.
I'm really disappointed that Douglas Quaid, a.k.a. Arnold Schwarzenegger, is not cast for this movie. I would love to see Douglas Quaid in this movie. Douglas Quaid is our guest tonight on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. So, Doug, how would you approach this role if you were the neuroscientist in this movie?
First of all, Dave, I'm from the future, so if you please call me Douglas Quaid. I am too busy living on Mars with my wife who tried to kill me. I am now dating a three-breasted lady of the night.
You know, if we were actually going, basing this off of the reboot, the remake of Total Recall, you'd have a totally different voice. You'd have
we're doing the original.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one really wants to admit that the remake ever happened.
Who starred in that again? Who was that?
Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell.
I think so.
Yeah.
He's a dreamboat, but he should not be messing with Total Recall.
Well, the coolest part of that whole movie was how they went from, I think, London to some other faraway city, and they went through the Earth. They went directly through the Earth, and they did this whole, like, they had to turn around so their gravity was all messed up for a second. They kind of had to flip. They did a whole gravity flip thing. It was weird. I don't know.
Like, I think the special effects on the remake were really cool, but I don't know. There's something special about bad 80s action.
Or really bad 80s. Or really
80s,
bad
90s.
Yeah, or really bad 80s, 90s special effects when you get exposed to the Martian atmosphere and your eyes bug out. That was cool.
Yes. That really sucked.
Yeah, tell us, how'd that feel?
Listen to me.
All right.
Listen to me now.
Wrong movie. Wrong movie.
When trying to think of things to say, it's really hard to like think of what he would say in that one movie.
Yeah. What was some of the stuff that Doug said to Doug, like when he was watching the video of him? There were some classic lines. There were some great lines. Oh, besides "Get your ass to Mars," that was one of them, right?
He pulls out the thing and he goes, "Just jam it up your nose until you feel a click or whatever."
Yeah.
And he pulls up the thing.
All right. Okay. So yeah. That's the news this week. And
that's the news. Yeah.
Let's start. Let's do our new feature, which is the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. We're going to see how much you really know about science fiction. We have different degrees of science fiction knowledge here on the panel. Each panelist will get two questions of their own, but if they fail to answer, any of the panelists can steal that question. If they fail to answer or they get the answer wrong, then one of the panelists can steal it. First person that buzzes in or just says, hey, you'll have the chance to answer the question. And the guest has the right at answering it first. So, Douglas Quaid, if you know the answer to any of these questions, albeit Matt's turn or Anessa's turn or Brad's turn, you can steal it. You get the first option at answering the questions. All right?
Well, okay.
So, are you guys ready to play the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. First up is going to be Brad. Brad, are you sitting comfortably?
Absolutely.
All right. Your first question is, who wrote the famous Three Laws of Robotics?
Isaac Asimov.
Jeez.
Wait a second. No, you gotta let Doug Quaid, gotta give him a second
oh,
to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. I don't know.
Okay, so this is for Brad right here. All right. Congratulations, Brad. You got your first of two questions correct. Moving on to question number two. Who is Alex Rogan? Who is Alex Rogan?
Pass.
He's the last starfighter.
Wow, you are good, man. Congratulations.
I think they're losing some time. I guess since it came out.
From the Starlight Starbright trailer park.
Is that what
it
was?
He was recruited by the Star League to fight Zur and defend the frontier from the Kodan Armada.
Was that a Marvel property?
No.
Okay. That was just... did the video...
Marvel might have gotten the rights to do a comic book adaptation of it, but
okay.
But I don't remember if they did that.
What came first?
I was four when this movie came out. And I saw it shortly afterwards, and so I don't remember much about it. But we did play the theme song for marching band in high school.
What came first? What? That's funny. What came first, the video game or the movie?
The movie.
The movie? Okay. But then they released a video game because of the movie, right? They had to have.
I don't think that they did.
Okay.
I don't want to take that back. The game? No, there was a game.
Okay.
Oh no! I'm sorry. It's the Holy Grail of props. Somebody actually made a prop version of the last Starfighter game and actually like created a whole case for it and the whole nine yards.
Oh, cool. I do remember that story from a couple years ago. Yeah.
So it says on the Wikipedias, a real The Last Starfighter arcade game by Atari is promised in the end credits but was never released.
Okay. Nope. All right. So. Okay. So I'm going to change up the rules here. This is a work in progress. So the guest will have the first shot at answering if the person fails to answer or gets the wrong answer. Okay. So
I think that's a good idea.
So Doug, you'll have to wait until whoever's turn it is. If they don't get it, then you'll get a shot at it. Okay.
Okay.
This I didn't quite hear that, Doug.
It's really difficult to say things like that. I don't know. Instead of saying okay, I'm just going to go, hello there.
Hello there.
All right, Inessa, your turn. First question. Which of the following – well, hang on a second. I got to ask you, are you sitting comfortably?
As comfortable as I can be in this tiny chair.
All right.
Oh.
That's correct. Okay, first
Not
question.
Not your fault. Just getting tired.
Oh, boy.
First question. Which of the following movies was not adapted from a novel by Philip K. Dick? Which of the following movies was not adapted from a novel by Philip K. Dick? A, Blade Runner. B, Starship Troopers. C, The Adjustment Bureau.
Starship Troopers was Heinlein.
Are you positive?
Yes.
And you would be... Right. Congratulations. You guys are kicking some ass. You're kicking A. All right.
I'm scared.
No, don't be scared.
All I know because Starship Troopers is by Heinlein.
All right. No. See if you can go 2 for 2 here. On the TV show Fringe, on what campus was Walter... Or, hang on one second. On the TV show Fringe, on what campus was Walter Bishop's lab?
Harvard, because I never actually watched the show.
You never actually watched the show, but you know the answer?
I'm guessing. That was a guess, if that was right.
Holy crap.
No, I've never actually watched the show. Like, Brad's like, you should see it.
I swear to God, I thought you watched it. I thought you watched the show. That's weird.
No, I've never actually watched it.
I thought you were a big fan. Okay, never mind. Okay, so
that would be Brad.
So the game is tied. Inessa,
but I guessed right. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, wow.
It just seemed like the
good intuition. Very good intuition.
Are we gonna play Rickety Sax while I answer? Because it's kind of gonna be like that.
So negative, Matt.
I didn't know any of the answers to their questions, so hopefully my first question is, what does sci-fi stand for? Because I know that.
Well, that's not it. That's not your first answer question, but this may be as easy as that, okay? First question is, what does the T stand for in the name James T. Kirk? Now, before you answer, this is multiple choice, okay? Is it A, Thomas, B, Tiberius, or C, Timothy? What is
B, Tiberius.
Are you sure?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
All right. You got it. Congratulations.
Thank you for making these easy enough that my stupid ass can get them.
You're not stupid.
So far.
Okay, so your final one, each of you gets a multiple choice and just a straight-up answer. This is your straight-up answer question, all right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What was the kind of ship Luke Skywalker flew during the assault on the Death Star in Star Wars Episode 4? What kind of ship did he fly during the assault on the Death Star?
It's either an X-Wing or a Y-Wing. I'm going to go with X-Wing because X-Wing.
See? I think you know a lot more about science fiction than you think you do.
I know, like, basic science fiction knowledge. I've never said I didn't. I just, you know.
You're selling yourself short, Matt.
I have a short attention span, and, yeah, I don't retain knowledge as good as the other two.
What I've learned from this is I have to start asking you a lot tougher questions than that. That's, you guys got all your answers right.
Ask me about more shows I haven't watched.
Yeah.
Okay. I want a list from you by middle of next week, please.
Is there a list of shows to choose from?
No.
I can just mark them on the list.
No.
Not this one or that one.
All right. That's the Sci-Fi Geeks quiz. Congratulations to all you. We're tied up, one each, and we'll keep score from week to week. And we'll name a winner somewhere, sometime. I don't know. Maybe we'll do... We'll do seasons or something like that. And then we'll do a playoff. I don't know.
That works.
Like I said, this is a work in progress. Just
the winner gets the Randy Macho Man sandwich.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right.
And a dusty Rocky Road milkshake.
Before we wrap up, let's find out what's happening in the Galactic Netcast, what we're watching weekly, Summer Movie Draft. Do you have the latest details on that, Matthew?
Yes, I do, David. You and I are in first place with a commanding lead of $1.2 billion.
Did you say billion?
Billion, yes.
Wow.
Yes. What we're watching weekly is in second with $1.1 billion.
Holy crap.
Team Hondo.
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 They really put forth a good effort with $819 million.
And we're pretty much...
Considering that we were well... We just gained over $100 million in the past few days.
It's still sitting at $94 million. So I don't know if they haven't updated it yet. But the current domestic total is $126 million for Guardians of the Galaxy, and they do have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is the last movie. So you know, if it makes like $400 million,
yeah, exactly. We've got a long hill to climb that I don't think.
But
we'll
still,
climb.
I mean, in all reality, you guys had a fraction of the movies that us and What We're Watching Weekly had.
Yeah.
This is true.
So what is What We're Watching Weekly? Do they have any movies left?
Nope. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the last one.
So we can pretty much declare declare ourselves winners, right?
Yep. Yeah, we can have a little party if you want.
All right.
When's the last day for the thing, though?
The season ends September 5th.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it ended, like, right after Ninja Turtles, that wouldn't be fair,
yeah,
considering.
But, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Other movies have, like, ran a lot longer. It's like, oh, hey, Ninja Turtles just came out. Okay, we're done.
Yep, yeah.
So
if it makes $400 million in, like, the next month, you guys are good.
Boom. Okay, as long as each movie makes, you know, a couple hundred million each.
Yeah.
Well. Or so.
Okay.
There's always hope.
I think that Matt and I should.
Dream big.
I think Matt and I should start celebrating now. I think I feel confident in the fact that we are going to win this summer movie
it
draft.
It just makes you look like a jerk, though.
What? What are you talking about?
I just finished my beer in our honor, Dave.
Okay.
Like, it just makes you look like a jerk.
Why?
Like, oh, we're going to start celebrating now for the next month.
I'd say we were celebrating for a month. We're just celebrating right now.
But
he said start celebrating. It ain't over yet.
He never said we are or are not going to celebrate again next week or the week after.
The week after.
For
or
the next
after,
month.
Or
it just seems mean.
So how much, if Guardians of the Galaxy would dominate for the next 4 weeks, how much would they have to make for Anessa and Brad, Team Hondo, to catch up and win?
Let's see here. I gotta get out a calculator.
Matt, not good with math.
Wait, what were you? Well, what were you guys at? Like 1. What billion?
Well, I'm gonna figure out exactly what it is. It was 1.2 billion.
We're at 800.
They would have to make $412,253,553 more dollars than us in the next month for them to win.
Okay, so I think it's safe to say that we can play this right now.
Let's have a party. I think we'll have a party now.
Yes.
Let's have a party. It's great when you get started now. We'll throw our heads back and say party, party, party.
I remember that turd of a movie I was made to watch.
Yeah, there you go.
It wasn't that bad. It was just weird.
It wasn't good.
It was pretty weird.
See GalacticNetcast.com and click on Sci-Fi Film School and find out for yourself.
And look up the American Astronaut.
American Astronaut, yes, definitely.
I couldn't remember the name of the movie, so thanks for reminding me what never to watch again.
Hey, no problem. That's what we do. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Don't forget to leave us feedback, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We have a voicemail number, too. That's 805-328-3966. Subscribe, won't you? Go to iTunes or Stitcher, search for us there, or go to galacticnetcasts.com/subscribe. Follow us on Google+, Twitter, and Facebook, and join in the conversation about science fiction.
Yes.
You know what? My gavel disappeared. Hang on. I got to recall the gavel. So you guys fill in time while my gavel comes up. I can't find my gavel. My gavel's nowhere to be found.
What? No gavel? No gavel?
My glasses. I can't find my glasses.
Hang on. Kill time. I'm still looking for my gavel.
Killing it softly with this song.
This is great podcasting right here. We forgot to thank our guest this week, Douglas Quaid. Thanks for joining us. Where can people find you online?
Ow.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at Martian Bestest Ever Martian, Facebook.com/ Douglas Quaid for President. Instagram. You can hashtag me at Ripley Muscles.
I really want to watch Total Recall now. I really do.
I watched Eraser and Crap. It was a double feature. It's Eraser and another, like a, what's that?
And Crap? That's a movie?
And Crap.
No.
Oh, did you finally watch The Villain?
No, I didn't. I also have yet to watch Hercules in New York.
You gotta let me know how that one is.
It's not gonna be good. But I did find out that the DVD that I bought has his original voice tracks. And they took out that he was called Arnold Strong and gave him his real name in it.
Oh, he was called Arnold Strong at one point?
Yeah, because they didn't think calling him Schwarzenegger would work.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, this is going to drive me nuts. I got to find the name of this movie before we go anywhere.
Okay. Yar, collateral damage. Me nuts.
Collateral damage?
Yep.
That sounds like a 1990s, I'm trying to think of his name, Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Oh, it was actually 2003, and everything blows up.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that with a name like Collateral Damage. That's something that you would think would happen in the film.
John Leguizamo's in it, and he's wearing a really awesome Metallica shirt. Oh. And John Turturro's in it, too.
Cool. All right. Thank you for joining us here on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, and I call this meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club adjourned. Here we go. I found the gavel. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, Dad.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.